Good morning. Beautiful winter day. So before we dive in, just want to share with you a little lesson for you, for us. So yesterday I came across this, what I thought was a challenging article. And I thought, the thought that went through my head was, I'm going to put this on social media because I'm not a social media person. But I'm going to put it on here, right? Because I love being challenged myself, right? I'll read different books from different streams of theology just to, I feel like it sharpens me. And a few hours later, get some feedback that wasn't so thumbs up. It was more thumbs down. And you know what's interesting when that happens? You know what rises up? The ego. The ego wants to push up, right? Well, what ended up happening, we had a conversation on the phone, right? And during the conversation, I did pray, Holy Spirit, just would you give me wisdom here? That's what I prayed for, wisdom. I'm being honest, not exaggerating. What I heard was, I do hear it, was shut up and listen. Okay? See, now, and I didn't know if that was the Holy Spirit, or if that was my wife, or if it was both. Either way, I sat up and listened. And in that, I realized that that had provoked the person, like that had caused some angst. And I asked the Lord, what do I do? And I just sensed that the Lord saying, what's the criteria here? Is it the person or the post? What takes priority? And I was like, it's the person. And I was like, lose the post. I'm like, okay. Because I was at a crossroad there. You say you want to follow me. You're going to follow? And I was like, okay, I will. So I took it off, and I just gave an explanation there on the social media post just to say, you know what? Hey, what's great for me isn't necessarily great for everybody else. Not everybody thinks like me. I don't know why, but no, that's what gets you into trouble. That's where you get into trouble. Anyway, it was but two lessons there. A, people always come before our post or our opinions, always. We always want to honor people, always want to do that. Two, what I really, really appreciated was this didn't get, hammered out on public post. This was done privately, in person, being honored. And that was key. That shows maturity. That shows the way. Because I don't think Jesus really cared. No, he did. What I posted or what, your action or the thing that takes place isn't necessarily the issue. The issue is how you handle that. That's the key, right? Because every now and then we will put our foot in our mouth. That's just the way it is. Anyway, so let me dive in. I don't want to keep going. When we go into the teachings, whether it be if you're taking part in Kim Maxwell's Bible study she's doing on the Sermon on the Mount, or whether whoever's teaching up here, whether it's me or someone else, a couple things to keep in mind is remember Jesus' words at the end of his Sermon on the Mount that said, because they are they're very pointed. Jesus says that the wise person is the one who hears my teachings and follows it. Jesus goes on to say the foolish person is the one who hears my words but doesn't bother to follow it. Jesus doesn't give a in between there. It's like either you hear it and follow or you're not. That just hearing it doesn't count. I want you to keep that in mind. The other thing I want you to keep in mind, Dallas Willard points this out in his book. In fact, I think it's one of his base points for how he, the book that he, The Divine Conspiracy he wrote. And in it, he brings out the point that if Jesus is who he says he is, then he has to be, logic says, he has to be the smartest person who's ever lived, whoever will live on this earth. And then he says, if you logic it out, it makes sense that we would pay attention to what he is saying about life. Because it's not that he knows about life or he studied it. He is the author of it. And if he's the author of it, it would do us well to listen to what he has to say and to follow it. And when he laid that out in his book, it was like, you're right. You're absolutely right. But keep those two things in mind as we continue through. Because some of his teaching, some of the things we're going to hit on, you're left with, what do I do with this? And that's where you got to go back to the Holy Spirit, back to Jesus and say, and be honest with Jesus. Jesus, I have a hard time. I don't know how to deal with this. Like, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you. Help me. Help me to understand. Open my eyes. And he will. He will. He has a way of doing that. So on that note, let me start with the story. Back in November 2001, so that's over 20 years ago, wasn't on staff yet. Our church held a conference. I think it was called the Father Loves You Conference. They had Ed Piorek up from California. He was a pastor in one of the Vineyard churches there. And Ed, he gave a real simple teaching. We had great worship and stuff like that. And then he called for the ministry time, because we were going to have ministry time. He called for the ministry team to come down. I was on the ministry team. And so we went down to the front of the church. It was at, we held it at Calvary Pentecostal. And Ed has this idea, you know what, before we call for people to come up for ministry, I just want to have the Holy Spirit come minister to you guys who are going to do it on the ministry team. Like, okay. You know, let's put your hands out, you know, just receive the Holy Spirit. And Ed began to speak, and there was just this sense in me that something, I just wanted something to come out in prayer, well, I wanted to pray to God. And what came out was, and I'll give context to it, I was doing a course at Emmanuel Bible College. Our assignment was we had to write a paper on somebody who was very pivotal to do with worship and music and the music ministry throughout North America. And for me, that person was Keith Green. I read his books and following his ministry, and I was impacted by that. What came out of me in my prayer at the ministry time was, Lord, make me like Keith Green. That was my prayer. And I heard immediately, I won't answer that prayer. I won't answer that. What I will answer is, you pray, make me like Scott Rowe. You pray that, I'll answer that. Now, those are simple. That's a simple prayer to pray. Not easy. So, just so you have an understanding, at that point, there was, I don't know if there was one or two people just came, noticed that God was just tapping me. And just began to just, you know, just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and just speak to me. And it took me well over a half an hour to get to the point where I could pray that. Well over a half an hour. And in fact, like, I think the rest of anybody from the congregation had been invited to come up for ministry. Ministry went on. And by the time I had prayed that prayer, most of the people were done leaving, going home. But when I prayed that prayer, when I finally was able to do it, the weight that fell off me was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Because it was the realization that hit me that God wanted to work through me. That I was actually enough for God. And that was hugely impactful for me. And it was a very pivotal point in my life. And I find it strange how, for some of us, accepting who we are is difficult. Because we compare ourselves with others. We put others as superstars or as they got it all together, or this and that and the next thing. And we look at ourselves and we put ourselves down. And it really doesn't make sense. And sometimes what we need at that point is someone else to speak into us what they see. Right? That's important. I remember, you know, when I was with the OPP and I was up in Ignace and the detachment commander was transferring out. He was going to another detachment. Nice guy. And it was the last day he was there and he was heading out and he saw me and he said, hey, Scott, what he said to me was, hey, look it, you need to go for promotion. He says, you really do. He says, because you'd make a good supervisor. I remember him saying that. I remember Tom saying that to me. And it was like, never seen myself as that, right? And I was just like, wow. But that was powerful to hear that. And that's what we need to hear. And I say all this to say that when Jesus was delivering what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he went from God blesses you, you know, the Beatitudes, he went from that right into, there was no break here, right into speaking to the same people, saying these words, that you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Please know that while Jesus was speaking to his disciples and to the people that were gathered around listening to him, he's also speaking to you and me today. That you are salt, that you are light. So let's talk a bit about this. Let's first dive into the whole thing of salt. Now, the thing with salt, for us, it was a very essential element for the people back then in Jesus' day, right? It was put right alongside, it was considered an essential, similar to bread, to wine, to oil. Salt was very essential. It was an essential element. And I know not so much for us necessarily, because some of us have been told by our doctors, cut back on your salt. Not essential for you that much, right? And plus, we have lots of salt in our food. We use salt. I'm sure you've done this week. You use salt on your sidewalks, right? We use it for that. It doesn't have that same import that it did for them. Because in ancient times, they considered it a valuable commodity, from flavoring food to preserving food. That was key and critical for it. Also, it was used in temple sacrifices, and there was medicinal purposes as well. And I actually read that they would rub it on newborn babies. I didn't do research to find out why. It was just like, that's interesting. Don't know if I'd do that now, but it's interesting. But it was how that it was used in their life. And it was also, what was interesting, salt is symbolic of friendship. That's how they saw it. It was symbolized friendship. And it also, what it did, it represented that life is never ending. So it was really important to them. It had much more than just a simple, you know, spice up the food that we're going to eat and melt ice. It was way different for them. For followers, when Jesus was speaking that, it spoke of vitality, what we are to be, what the good news is to be for us. And the fact is that Jesus has entrusted us with his words and his call that's on our life and how we are to live life. And he has given us his Holy Spirit. We have his Spirit. And so we join the Holy Spirit in that, how the Holy Spirit's working, and remembering that the Holy Spirit's words are Jesus' words that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit guides us. And so that wherever we go, whatever we do, Jesus is saying, be salt. Let your life preserve, let it flavor, let it be a healing property to other people. That's what he's calling people to. Because how I live before my family, before my work colleagues, before my neighbors, before, you know, friends and that, how I live my life makes a big difference. It has an impact on people. People watch you. They see what it is we do and how we live our lives. And when we live the Jesus way, what Jesus calls us to live, when we live that way, we are salt to people. We make a difference. And I want you to hear that. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're a follower of Jesus, you make a difference wherever you go. You make a difference in your workplace. You make a difference in your home. You make a huge difference. There's a preserving element we bring. I see it as we bring a fragrance into the room, an aroma that changes things. I absolutely believe that. And again, understand when Jesus was saying these words, he was speaking to just common, everyday people like me, like you, right? He was not speaking to the superstars. He's speaking to us. However, he says all that, but he has a caution. The caution is really interesting. He says, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? And by the way, did you know, scientifically, salt doesn't lose its flavor, can't lose its flavor? That's not the point. Jesus wasn't giving a lesson on salt. He was using it as an analogy for us, for our lives. But he says, what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, how to understand this? This is actually fairly jarring what Jesus is saying here. These are not light, fluffy words. He's not being a teddy bear here. What Jesus is saying is similar. So if you remember back when we talked about the last statement Jesus makes in his sermon about the wise man and the foolish man, and when that word foolish that we read, it means something different to us. But the word Jesus was using that's recorded in the original Greek, it means like you're morally irresponsible with your life. Like it was fairly heavy language that Jesus used. It's the same, he uses that same Greek word is used here. That if you don't follow my ways, you're not salty. That you have lost any impact that you think you will have on people. You won't have that preserving element when you're around wherever you go. That's what he is calling. That's what he is saying here. And the thing he is saying is, you follow my ways and you will have that element to bring preservation to others, to bring flavor to people's lives. And it's really interesting. And what is even more interesting is that as you stay swirling around in the Gospels and taking in Jesus' words and listening to his teachings, when you shift over to the New Testament letters written by the apostles, what you read is they are simply taking Jesus' teachings and they expound on them a little bit to the church they're writing to. That's all they're doing. Classic example is Paul when he writes his letter to the church in Colossae, and he says this to them, to be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul is saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing as what Jesus is saying. How you live your life makes a difference. How you do that, how you interact with people makes a difference. And Paul is taking from Jesus' teachings that he would have heard from the other disciples. He would have been taught this over the years that he studied under them. And he's just saying, you know, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, have flavor to it, that it brings life to people. Pointed words from Jesus and from Paul. And then Jesus goes on in what he speaks to us, that we are not just salt, but we are also the light of the world. It was interesting. We sang a song today. I think in one of the lines was that Jesus, you shine like the light of the world or something like that. There was a line in there. And Jesus says, yes, and you are to shine like the light of the world as well. Right? He calls us to shine, do likewise as he does. And he says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We all know what light, the importance of light. We don't have to have much of an explanation there. It was important back then. It's important today. Light is basically life, right? It's the key factor in creation. It what causes creation to grow and what it does. The interesting thing about light and darkness is you can produce light, can't produce darkness, right? We have light switches. We don't have dark switches. You can't say to someone, can you go turn on the dark, please? You can't do that. You can dispel the dark with light, but you can't produce darkness. And what's interesting is God, in Scripture, God is known as light, that God is the giver of life. Because when you think about it, what light does for us is profound. It wakes us up, right? We wake up in the morning and we see the sunlight and it's beautiful and it does something to our bodies, right? Very medicinal in that sense. It gets dark, we get tired, we go to bed, right? Most creatures do the same. We have the marsupials, haven't figured them out, why they work midnight shift, but creatures do the same. You look at plants, right? Flowers close when it gets dark. Not all, but some, they close. Sunlight comes out, they open up. It's amazing. We need light because light brings life. And Jesus says, if you follow my ways, you will bring life wherever you go, whoever you interact with. You will bring life to people. You will be like light coming in, like the sunlight coming up in the morning. It just lifts people up. And the cool thing is that God will do that through me, through you, just the way you are, how you interact. God will do that through you. And it's amazing, the understanding of light. And when Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, what you'll find as we go through the sermon, what Jesus really is going after is integrity of character. Jesus is so adamant about that, the integrity of our character, because it's that brings light. That's what Jesus is addressing here. I'm sure you have seen people, you've met people who just have integrity of character. And when they're in a room, people pay attention, listen to them. They're well-respected. They can be trusted. They're solid, like a rock, right? They're solid. They can be depended upon. That's what Jesus' words does to us. That's what his ways follow. The life he calls us into will make us firm. People can trust what we say. And that's what Jesus calls us, to be that light. And here's the thing. Does our world need that right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes a difference. People recognize it. Doesn't matter who they are. They know it. And they also know a lack of integrity in character. They also know that. And we get to be that. We get to be that. See, and that's the preservation we bring to the world. That's the life we bring. Because the world is hungry for it. People want to see leaders, especially, you know, national world leaders, to walk with integrity. They want that. They're tired of the other, right? They're tired of that. They don't want that anymore. They want to see people who walk with integrity, people who lead with integrity, people who mean what they say and say what they mean. It's what we want. And we get to be that. We get to be that in the world. Fun words from Jesus, eh? He's interesting. He's an interesting cat. And the neat thing is that as the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, on our thoughts, on our attitudes, and as we grow, our light becomes brighter. The salt becomes saltier. Things begin to change. How we see things changes, right? And the impact we go becomes greater. It does. It really, really does. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your own life, but I have in mine. I was telling someone the other day, when I left the OPP, about a year later, I ran into one of the guys who I used to work with on my shift, and I was chatting with him. We met up at a coffee shop up here in Cambridge here, and we were chatting, and I just asked the question, so how are things at the detachment? You know, how's things going? And he said, oh, it's going pretty good. But he said, you know, this is what he said. You know what the weird thing is? Like, he says, our shift is different without you. And I said, oh, well, that's nice to hear. Thanks for sharing that. But I knew what he was talking about. Because I really believed, and I learned this from my dad, right? I learned this from my dad, to say that whatever I do as a job, wherever I go, what doesn't matter. He always told me, do it as a representative of Jesus. Just be that. And he told me that wherever you go, you'll make a difference. You'll make a difference. You just will. When I heard that back, it was like just affirmation. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Just is that a change? We have an impact wherever we go, guys. We have an impact. And that's why Jesus says in that line there, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Quickly, what Jesus is not asking us to do is to start a ministry of random acts of kindness. Jesus is not asking that. What Jesus is asking us to do is to be kindness. Let it be your lifestyle. Let it be what you do. Because I don't believe, I don't think, as I read scripture, as I pay attention to the life of Jesus, he didn't have a ministry per se. He lived his life out loud in front of people. And what you saw is what Jesus was. If you cut him, that's what he would bleed. He bled that. He was that. He was love. He was joy. He was peace. He was goodness and, you know, faith, faithfulness, and all that other stuff, right? Jesus was that. You cut him, that's who he was. He just went about doing things. Here's an interesting little story. So this is going through my head. Yesterday, April and I had gone to a birthday party for an hour, and then we left, and I was dropping her off at our daughter and son-in-law's place. And when we turned, I turned up from Maine up Elgin, to come up Elgin, and I saw, I just off on the side there, a young girl had driven her car into the snowbank, right? Just in the snow mound, but she was stuck. She wasn't going anywhere. Dropped April off, left, came back down, and it was just like, I just sensed, so what are you going to do? Because everybody was just driving by her, you know? Probably feel sorry for you, you know? And I said, okay, well, I'll stop. So I pulled up alongside. I said, hey, you stuck? Silly question. Clearly you are. And I just, you know, you need help? She said, sure, I'm just waiting for my mom to come. So I pull my car across the intersection, pull my car up over. When I get out, who do you think's pulling up? My son-in-law. My son-in-law is pulling up behind her. And I was like, oh, wow, awesome. And good thing he did, because I wouldn't have been able to help her, because she was buried good. But fortunately, Wes had, he has shovel, he has blankets, he had these what are called tracks. Foldable tracks that you fold out, put them under the wheels, and we got her out with his help. But it was just interesting to see that he would just naturally help. Now, I don't know if he got prodded by his mother-in-law. That's just who he is, right? He just is. That's it. He's not doing a ministry. He's just being Wes, right? And helping however he can help. And so Jesus is saying, let your life be good deeds. You just naturally do it because that's who you are, because you have my light, you have my salt in you. I like how Paul says it here. He says, for once you were full of darkness. And here again, Paul's just pulling from what he's learned from Jesus. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Live as people of light. So I just want to say this to you. Remember, don't treat Jesus' teachings like a multiple choice test where you got to get everything right and then you're doing it right. Following Jesus is a lifelong journey. It's lifelong. It takes all your life. And Paul says somewhere that when we see Jesus, that's when we'll be complete. That's when we'll be fully known. Then we'll be made complete. It's a lifelong journey. The question is, which way are you pointed? Have you turned to face Jesus and have you said, you know what, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to get it all right, and that's not the point. Jesus has lots of grace to give us as we walk, but our intention and our desire has to be, we want your ways, Jesus. You are our north, our true north that we want to follow. You are the one we point to. You are the one who guides us and leads us. And we'll trust your words. And his words sometimes are hard. I find that out probably on a weekly basis. Like yesterday, it was my ego. That's usually what gets in the way, is your ego will start to rise up. And that's when you got to push that sucker down. Tell it to heal. Right? And then just follow. Because Jesus' ways leads to life. Always. It leads to life and it gives life to other people. And that's what we want to be. We want to be that. So I want to leave you with this. Don't diminish your impact on people. Seriously. Our kids, you know, our youth, our children, they watch you. They just watch you. They observe your life. You see how you live, see how you act, see how you respond. And they tuck that away, right? And how you live your life makes a huge difference as they mature and become older and become adults themselves. Because they'll look back, oh, yes, I remember them. I remember that person. That's why Sunday school teachers are so important. I think back regularly on the different Sunday school teachers that made a difference in my life. It is a huge difference of how they lived. You know, men and women that just spoke into my life and modeled for me what it meant just to be a nice person, right? And I have that model and their love for Jesus. That's what made the difference for me. So don't denigrate yourself and the impact that you have. You have a huge impact. All of us do. Keep in mind that you are a giver of life and you do make a difference. You do. You know, we want to be world changers. You are a world changer. I believe the church in the world is the preservation. I really do believe that with all of our foibles and our problems that we have, and we've always had it right from the beginning of time, there is a unity within that, how the church is unified in its pursuit of Jesus, regardless of the different streams of the church. We are unified in that we desire, our heart's desire is to follow Jesus. And I'm convinced it makes a difference. It makes a difference in people. You make a difference. So you leave here, you go out to your workplaces or you go out into your homes or into your neighborhoods or that. You change things. Would your neighborhood be different if you left? Yeah. Would the place you work at be different if you left? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. So I bless you guys. I bless you guys because what Jesus says, the beauty of it, what Jesus says to us is that good deeds, let your life shine like the light, because then everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's the beauty of it. Amen.